Welcome to the IT Babble podcast, where we talk about educational technology and a whole lot more. You can find our podcast on iTunes, please subscribe, or your very favorite podcasting app. Also, you can find our blog at www.itbabble.com.
Welcome back, everybody. It's the IT Babble podcast. You're listening to the IT Babble podcast, episode 147. Remember, folks, you can find our fantastic blog at www.itbabble.com. And I'm joined here, as always, by my good friend Tony DiPreto. Tony, how are you doing?
Doing pretty good. It's cold here. It's snowy.
It's actually unseasonably warm here. We had a really cold beginning of the week, but it warmed up really nice. It's like in the 50s, and it's going to drop down and get cold again here in Indianapolis. But that's all right. We have a fantastic show. I'm sorry. Just really quick breaks here. We're going to talk about my review, mysimpleshow.com, about that. Two different takes on a study from Emotion, which is an actual official blog, though it sounds, journal, which it sounds like a blog, though. We're going to talk about, could a messy desk make you better? But we will start things off with Tony's mobile phone shutdown, your post on IT Babble, and on Ty Online.
Yeah.
So Tony, this isn't you just thinking out loud. This is you taking action, which I think is pretty cool.
Action was taken. Actually, since then, multiple other actions have been taken.
Oh,
so all right. Yeah, I'm always surprised, like, at how many people at schools don't think that there's something you can do. So, the first thing that we did always at the beginning of the year, we have students register their laptops, and even though it seems like an old school thing, I always get the students' MAC address from their laptop and keep those in a safe place now, so I'm ready to use.
Hold on, let me just for the people out there who are maybe tech savvy but maybe not super network savvy, can you explain like what a MAC address is, like when you're looking on your network?
Yeah, so every computer has like a Wi-Fi card, and that Wi-Fi card has a unique number, and that number is the MAC address.
Yeah, and it doesn't matter if it's Apple, PC, Linux, tablet, a smartphone, they all have MAC. It doesn't have anything to do with Apple. This is just an acronym, MAC. I don't know what it stands
right
for.
I guess right.
I can look it up for.
So that was when school started. I didn't have a lot of time to do a lot of this stuff, but I was telling the students back in October, this is what we're going to be doing this year. And, you know, they don't pay attention, so whatever. So once we... the next thing that we did was we lined out the policy for smartphones, and that had to roll for a few weeks because there were some teachers who thought it would be fine, you know. So you just kind of let it go, and then it gets like really chaotic. The kids can't focus. So after a certain point, the principal said that there's no smartphones allowed during academic hours on campus. If students want to use their phone, they have to do it before 8:30 in the morning, and they need to step outside. They can't be in a classroom on their phone. And if they're boarding students, they should just leave their phones in their rooms. And if they're not boarding students, they need to keep them in their bags or in their lockers. So, and then they laid out a set of consequences, and I made sure to include a paragraph about when they could use the phone so that they would know certain times they could make phone calls. Because some of the kids do legitimately have to make phone calls after school to get a ride home and everything.
We started with that.
And so once that was in place and moving, the next thing I did was, I switched the school network so that, the students had to log in using their Google account. And I did that using this awesome service I've been using called Jump Cloud. And Jump Cloud has a Radius server, and so basically the kids sign in, they have to sign in with their own names, and we don't have to have any infrastructure on campus to facilitate this. We just have to use the just core Cisco hardware that came with our base installation. So we didn't have to buy WebSense or any licensing or anything like that. It's just part of our setup. And I think most school networks would have this capability. So that means the students sign in, but it also means that each student has like a tick box now. And if I go into Jump Cloud and uncheck your name, you get kicked off the network.
Hmm.
Okay, so that was that change. And then the final change is we set the student network up in the residential areas on a timer. So every night it goes off at 11 p.m. and it does not come on until 3 p.m. So they're not supposed to be in the residences during the day. If the student is sick or taking a sick day, they wouldn't really have internet access in their rooms. They would have to just like, you know, sleep and rest. But we did that because we had so many kids who were trying to stay up all night and they were online.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah. And so, yeah, that all just came down like one right after the other. So now the kids are signing in individually. We have their individual network statistics. We can ban individual students from the network. And the other positive thing that came out of it, from my point of view, is connecting the most cell phones, especially Android devices, to the Jump Cloud radio server isn't easy. You have to go through a multi-step process to get the certificate installed. And we're not supporting that process, so we're not doing it. If they figure it out, it's fine. However, by the end of next week, I'm going to have all the MAC addresses listed in the system. So we don't have the MAC addresses for their phones. So their phones are not going to work anymore on the Wi-Fi.
Wow. So, I mean, they'll obviously work with their data plan.
Right, and that's fine. So everyone's like, well, what does that matter? This is why it matters. Who pays for the data plan?
They do. The parents, the family. Yeah.
That's right. And who can get an itemized list of all the stuff that they've used the phone for? Who can see where the bandwidth is going? The parents.
Yeah.
So if they're not on the Wi-Fi, they're going to burn through their data because most what we found out here when we moved to Korea, they do have really fast internet, but they don't really have unlimited phone plans. So you get like you can get a lot of data. I've never exceeded my data, but these kids will burn through, like, for sure. I bet they'll burn through 6 or 10 GB of data in a week.
In a week? And, in a week?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, in a week. Because they use them for gaming. So, and they're playing these, like, these really heavy games. So, I'm going to, and video and, you know, watching, like, K-pop and stuff. So, the point is, I'm just saying, hey, the school isn't going to support this. You're not using your phone for school at all. We do have one teacher who uses the cell phones as part of his curriculum, and that's totally supported by me and the principal. However, in terms of moving the data off the phones and back, they're going to have to use their data plans, and they're going to have to use their Google Cloud. Or they can go back into their classroom where they have iMacs. They can plug the phone in and transfer the content off because it's just video.
Oh, okay. So, all right. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's it. And that's, you know, the only thing we've had to support. But no, I want the parents to be engaged. I want the parents to have to keep agreeing to paying, like we're going to keep paying for all this data.
I think that's really good. I think that's actually fantastic. That's a pretty well thought out plan. And it's interesting, your article is very timely because that same week I saw an article. It's from a local WBTV, which is a local station in Massachusetts, I'm guessing. Their article about a school and what they do with cell phones. And then I saw an article on NPR and what they do and what they have found about cell phones. But the Massachusetts one, and you saw this, and this is interesting, they use these pouches called Yonder, Yondr.
And yeah, after I looked at it, I thought it would be lame, but then I like had it. I was like, oh, you could just put these in certain areas where kids could go and make phone calls.
Yeah, 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 that's exactly what it is. So what it is, for the people out there listening, is the kids walk in, they pick up a pouch, and it's a pouch like for your cell phone. They put their cell phone in it, and then they seal the pouch. And the seal is electronically, I guess it's an electromagnet. That's what I'm guessing.
That's what it looks like.
That's what it looks like. And so it's sealed. Like, they can't, the only way they're going to really get that thing open is if they cut the pouch. But they get to keep their cell phones all day. So they keep it. And then whenever there are times to use it, maybe at lunchtime, maybe after school, I don't know. they go and there are these cones and they tap their pouch on the cone and it unlocks the pouch and they can pull their phone out and use it. So, and I guess they're having good things. That was very interesting. I thought that was a pretty crazy idea. But you, Tony, you have some doubts about this. So talk
about
that.
Well, my main doubt is that, and this is the problem they have in the dormitory. So they do make the students lock up their laptops and phones in a separate area before they go to their rooms at night. But, you know, the students are just bringing in other devices. And might have smartwatches or something else. They're just bringing in other devices. So, I mean, you could do this, but at the end of the day, unless you're going to search everybody's bag, phones are too thin. I even had a student try to turn in a laptop that was a fake laptop. But it was a bad fake, and somebody caught it immediately.
That's so awesome. Is it like one of those fakes that you see at IKEA where it's just pure plastic?
Like that.
Oh, that's awesome.
And it was supposed to be like a MacBook Pro. It's like, no, this is not an Apple. But, you know, that's a problem. Like, they just will bring in another device. But I do like this concept because what you're saying is, when you come to school, everybody's going to put in, every goes in a pouch, and then you designate areas where they can go use their phones.
Yeah.
I actually wanted to do that here, but it was just everybody thought it would be logistically difficult because we have day students and we have boarding students. I think if you have one kind of student, like if it's not a boarding school, I think for sure you can have technology use areas and then technology like free areas where there shouldn't be any stuff like laptops and phones and stuff.
And
I think that's a good model.
And I believe in the article, it's a public school. So it's meaning it's a day school. They show up in the morning and then they go home at night or in the evening. That's pretty good. And then there was this NPR article and it has a great title, laptops and phones in the classroom. Yay, nay, or a third way. Well, obviously she was going for the rhyming. But she kind of talks about just the different how certain people approach it differently, and it's mostly let go ban phones. That's pretty much what it is. But they have like exceptions, such as if a student is physically disabled and they need a technology in order to write or produce. Maybe they can't write, so. That kind of thing. But ultimately, the article is kind of disappointing. I'll be honest. It was pretty disappointing. It wasn't very... It's not. I was looking for that third way, but there really wasn't that third way. Kind of what I was looking for was that, cell phones are not going away. Students are getting them younger and younger. The third way would be like how to teach them responsibly. That's kind of what I was looking for, but that never really kind of...
Yeah,
materialized in that article there, but that's kind of I think at a certain age, yeah.
I think the main issue is everybody feels like it's supposed to be parental responsibility, and it is, but your school has to do like the due diligence. Somebody was asking me the other day because I've been having some issues with like Google Mail, which I've talked about before. And
yes, you did.
I finally came up with a workaround for now, but it's not a good solution really, and. Someone was like, well, why is this our responsibility? I mean, we collect the email addresses and we it's not our responsibility if the parents aren't maintaining their emails. And I'm like, true. However, we know that they're not maintaining their emails. We know we can't get a hold of them. So we at least have to consider another alternative for them to be like engaged with so that we can say we literally did everything that we could do. Because we had to close school for 2 days for snow, and we've only been open like 3 months. So this was the first time we actually had to do this. Like within the first 3 months, we had to use the kind of emergency broadcast to hit parents. And that's when I saw all the problems. And so, I'm now looking at some additional PowerSchool stuff that we're going to pay for, because I think it's important to be able to like broadcast to parents. If parents don't read it and follow it, that is their fault, but I need to make sure that they have received it.
Yeah.
And that's the thing with these like cell phone and technology management policies. You do have to come up with something because you can't just say, well, parents need to just, you know, if the parents are giving them the phone, what can we do? Well, you can do a lot. I mean, if you're giving them free Wi-Fi to do whatever they want, you're pretty much letting them do whatever they want. Once they have to start paying for their own data, and using their own data, the parents are going to be like, wait a second. I got you enough data for a month and you used it all in 1 week of school. I mean, you have to like get that conversation going at the home level, in my opinion.
Yeah. And we all know that you and I both know, not everybody out there knows, but, there are some of those families that are just never, ever have that conversation. But there are, I think a vast majority of them probably would. It'd be like, what's going on here? You burned through 6 gigs of data in a week. That's ridiculous. Why? What's happening here? And that forces an issue, which is I think is good, because that leads to discussion, and discussions sometimes, not always, leads to resolution, or at least plans of a resolution, which is good stuff. Good stuff, I say. Good stuff. Well, anything else to add on this, or shall we move on, or what do you think?
We can move on. It's fine.
All right. So I wrote a review about a web service called mysimpleshow.com. Tony, have you seen these? I know you have, but I'm just.
I saw it, and I sent it around to like the art department because I thought they would think it was awesome.
Okay, so I don't know if mysimpleshow.com is so awesome. I don't think so. It's okay. It's like wasabi, right? It's really good at first, but if you put too much on there, and then it just kind of ruins your meal. You just need to use mysimpleshow.com just a little bit. There's only so many hands that can be moving. So, okay, I'm backing up a little bit. What this is a presentation software. It's online. You type out what you want to say, and it reads what your narrative, and it will create images, and then you have a hand that puts in the images as it is being narrated. Either you can narrate it, or they have robot voices that will narrate it for you. And the problem with it is that gets old really fast. I mean, real fast. It's kind of neat, though. Tony, I got to say, the process that they make you go through with the writing is really, really good. It's really good. Like, I did pro or con, and they're like, okay, well, here's this argument, here's that argument. Like, they organized it for you, and it really made you think. And they're like, you can only write 700 words, or 700 characters, actually, for each argument. They really kind of make you think in how to distill your ideas. But then the actual presentation of it is very lackluster, you know. Especially if you use a robot voice. Man, it sounds awful. It just sounds terrible. So.
Yeah, I think you'd have to use your own voice.
Yeah, definitely. And then you run into other problems. If you use your own voice and you're using the mic on your computer, it's going to sound like garbage. It just is. The mics on a computer are not very good, never have been very good, and are not meant to be very good. And I don't know. I think it's a good idea, and I think it's okay to use. But if you're going to let students use it, just be prepared to see lots and lots of images flying up, being pushed up on your screen by hands and robot voices. And that's just sounds terrible to grade. And if you're going to use it for your students, please don't overuse it, because I can see it one thing like where you're like, okay, guys, you turn on the projector, you put it up on the screen, and then they groan. They're just going to be like, oh, God, not this again. Ugh.
This is just an answer to that awesome video style where people like they draw it out and then they speed it up.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
But I see what you mean. Like, I'm watching like a video now. There's just the hands get really repetitive.
It's super repetitive. It's crazy. They have their own YouTube channel, right? And when you go, and you know how it has the thumbnails, right? So you can kind of see, and they all look the same. They all look. It's a white background. It's a Caucasian hand pushing up an image, a black and white image.
Should we write and say we need different? We need multicultural hands.
Well, I'm sure they will eventually, but. And the robot voice should be able to record
you should be able to record your own hand.
This is my hand. Record it, use it. Anyway, mysimpleshow.com. I mean, I think there are some good things in there. If you want to use it, go ahead, but just use it sparingly. Because if you have to grade even 30 of these things, you're going to want to gouge your eyes out. And if you are going to make these things, I think they're good, but they get real old real fast. You know, just, you know, and there's lots of other options out there. Prezi, heck, PowerPoint, Google Slides, Paltoons, Slide Rocket. I mean, there's no shortage of alternatives. So there you go. That's it. MySimpleShow.com. I got a Tony.
Yep.
I wanted to ask you because you texted me a picture of a MacBook in target mode.
Yeah.
You said you were in Mac hell, so I'm sorry to.
Yeah, these new MacBook Pros, man, they're killing me. I don't think the powers that be will let me consider, you know, Windows computers.
So just your MacBook with the touch bar MacBook Pro or no touch bar MacBook Pro? Or?
No, it doesn't matter. It's any MacBook Pro that we or the students, even the students, have purchased in the last year. They all have problems. Like every day, there's so many problems. Well, so,
okay.
Problem number one is this. Aside from the fact that the ports are stupid,
the MacBook stupid.
Pro. Comes with a C. It's a C port, right? C port.
Yeah, USB-C Thunderbolt. Yeah,
and the cable that connects to the power supply is a C port to C port connector.
That's right. Yes.
Do you know that if your Mac is having a problem and you put it in target disk mode, that the cable that comes with it can't be used with another Mac to fix it?
Whoa! Hold on. Hold on. Are you saying? Because I don't know this, and I have a MacBook Pro, the new MacBook Pro, one of the newer MacBook Pros with the C ports, the USB-C ports. Are you saying that my cable, which is completely detachable from the power base, it's USB-C to USB-C, that it will not transfer data? It only does electricity?
It will not. You have to have a separate cable that you have to purchase.
Oh.
It's that black cable that you see in the photo I sent you.
Oh my! Are you?
And I have to carry. I have to carry that cable with me at all times to help people.
Okay, so what are the problems? Why are for people
okay,
out
problem,
there? Oh, hold on here. Let me just for the people out there who don't know, target mode is when you turn your MacBook, and they've had this for this feature, and it's actually a great feature.
Amazing feature.
They've had this feature for a very long time, and what it does is it turns your MacBook. Or your Apple laptop into pretty much an external hard drive, and it allows another computer to read it as such. Like it mounts up on the desktop as an external hard drive, and you can go in there and you can pull data off if you need to rescue data. That's pretty much what it's used for, to rescue data, and then you can, you know, wipe or do whatever maintenance you need to do on that laptop, and then you can transfer data back. So anyway, go ahead.
So it's one of the main reasons I have Apple computers in a school, because you can install the operating system back quickly. You can use a disk utility to fix problems. There's a lot of positives. So what's happening is this: whenever they're doing an update, okay, whenever it's High Sierra especially, there's a point during the update where the computer restarts, right?
Yes, that's right. Yeah.
When that happens, it will not retain the Wi-Fi network settings. So it can't get back to the internet, so it can't finish the update.
Oh.
So this happens, this is like 1 in 3, at least 33%, okay? So I've actually told the entire staff not to run any High Sierra updates, and that's been pretty good. And I've told the students, but, you know, they're students, and they'll be using something, and it'll be like, oh, you need to update, and they just do it. And it's about 33% of them. So it boots, and they just get the question mark. Can't find the operating system. So you have to then restart it in recovery mode, then manually connect the Wi-Fi in recovery mode, and then continue the update. That whole process per student can take up to 2 hours to finish. once it bricks like that. So it's pretty bad. Like if it happens in the morning, the computer has to sit in my office, and by lunch they can get their computer back. That's the most common problem. But the other one is that the Mac just loses the hard drive. It can't find the hard drive anymore. And even when you connect it with like your in target disk mode, there's no hard drive visible.
Wow. So yeah. Do you use like data recovery software? Because sometimes sometimes that software can detect a hard drive when this happens.
In this case, like if it loses the hard drive, I actually call the Apple like supplier to like come and check the hard and come and check it. They've been just opening them up and unplugging, like disconnecting and reconnecting the hard disk.
Wow.
But that's pretty invasive, and it takes like they're not always right now. We're supposed to have somebody full time, but we don't. So right now it could be 3 or 4 days before anybody services the laptop.
Holy smokes, man.
So yeah, it's pretty bad. And the port thing really made me angry when I looked it up. I'm like, it seems like you should be able to use this gear, you know, together, and it should work, and it just doesn't. I mean, right now in my bag, I have like 4 adapters for these laptops at all times.
Yeah. So at my school, and we're a small school, the only people who have MacBook Pros are the IT staff. So myself and our two IT support specialists. I will not buy these things for the staff just because of the ports. It's ridiculous. You have to have an adapter to plug anything into it. And we have this $100 adapter for me and all on my staff where we have to plug it in, which allows SD cards, USB-A types, HDMI. It's just absolutely ridiculous. It's definitely something Apple's done it before where they've just been, I don't know if they're too far ahead of the curve, but I don't know. It's a real pain in the ass. Just to put it bluntly.
It is. And like it's for me, I'm like, should we go with Lenovo? Like, I don't know. I mean, my Lenovo has a C port on it. It has a SD card reader. It has HDMI and 3 USB outs.
Well, the Dell XPS 13, there's a new version of it that just came out like a few weeks ago. And it's all C ports. But it does come with an adapter. It ships with an adapter.
Well, that's good.
I mean, that's good. It's not great, but I mean, it's good. And there are, and if you want a Dell XPS without C port, with maybe just one C port, well, you can get that. They have that option. You can actually order that up and get it because it's a great computer, and Lenovo makes great computers as well. So, that C port. I think it's going to be everywhere. I think it is the future. It's just taken a while to get here. That's all. But it doesn't help me now. I can't plug anything into my MacBook. In fact, I'm not doing this recording on my MacBook. I'm doing it on my Surface Book because it's so much easier. Anyway, but we'll get into that later. All right. Whew. Man, Tony, I feel for you. That sucks ass.
Yeah, it does. And it's getting harder and harder to like tell people that Apple's the standard that we need because I don't really believe it anymore.
You know, and Apple's big one of their big things is that, you know, it just works. Apple, it just works. It just works. Like we don't get viruses. They rarely get viruses. It just works. It just turns on. But the last 3 months have shown that it kind of works. It's kind of working. They've had tons and tons and tons of updates. And it's very frustrating. It is very frustrating. So,
well, and then, you know, I hear some kind of fringe discussions about some of these new Apple advertisements, which I don't watch on TV because I'm not in the US, but I did try to find some on YouTube. Some of these fringe discussions are that Apple's going to stop making computers.
Yeah. In fact, the iPad Pro, this is all over the TV where there's this girl, she's running around New York, taking pictures, working on a project, getting a slice of pizza, chatting with her friends. And her neighbor comes out and she goes, "Oh, what are you doing on your computer?" And she goes, "Computer, what's that?" Which is just absolutely stupid. Just stupid, by the way. Because she's working on her I've heard the very same rumor, and we've been talking about this on IT Babble for a while, that this is going to happen. That they're just going to start making iPads.
Yeah, because it's a disposable technology. It's definitely they definitely make more money because people buy them every couple years.
Yep, yep. And you know, and if they drop it and it breaks, or it's like, oh god, that sucks. Well, they just go. Everything should be in the cloud, and they just go buy a new tablet, sign in, and everything is there. Like in theory, that's kind of what it is. I personally think that this will be their Vista if they do this. I think so. I think they're really racing forward towards it. I don't think that they're taking their time. I think we'll see it sooner rather than later, and I think it'll be a big, big, big mistake. I don't know. That's just me. I could very well be wrong, but just putting it out
there. Yeah, and internationally it's a bigger problem because, you know, there's not going to be any consequences to Apple if they stop servicing laptops in China or Korea. Nothing's going to happen to them.
Yeah.
It's not like the U.S. where they have to do it.
That's right. And over there will always be those places where you can get it serviced, but they're just not Apple certified.
That's right.
You know, so
but you don't want that though. Like I,
no,
that's
don't.
Why, you know, we have a new school. So I'm like thinking it's a new school. Do I start changing the model now? Like, why do we need to keep barreling forward down this road, which is just getting worse every year.
It is. It really is. I mean, less and less attention is being paid to the Mac, and more attention is being paid to the iPhone and especially to the iPad. It seems like, it's a really interesting, and we can certainly, we'll have to hold this off, but this could be a really good Windows S laptop, discussion as well, because a couple of those just were released for less than $200 from various different OEMs. So interesting discussion. But Tony, I would like to talk to you and think about, because you obviously, I saw this on two different blogs. I'm sorry. I keep saying blogs on CNN, and I saw it on Gizmodo. I guess Gizmodo is a blog. But about a study done about teenagers and cell phone use and their mental health. And the study was it's on psychnet.apa.org. Well, anyway, there's a link to it. And it's an actual study, right? It's an actual study. It's real. And they talk about like a decrease in... Jeez, hold on here. It just... Hold on. Something... I'm not a return user. I don't know what happened here. It just... Hold on. I got to bring it up. But anyway, they're talking about... teenagers or early teenagers and how using a cell phone a tablet affects their mental health. Like, are they happy? Are they sad? Are they anxious? Are they not anxious? Or all this other stuff. It's, you know, talking about screen time. I didn't read it because it was $12 just to buy the PDF and read it. So I didn't read it. I'm assuming that people at CNN and Gizmodo did read it. But anyway, Gizmodo's article about this is study. Being a teen sucks now. Okay, that's their. And CNN's was...
The iGen, those born between 1995 and 2012, has never...
Okay, did you hear that? Oh, God.
Hear what?
Nothing. I just hate this autoplay crap on CNN.
I know. That happened to me too.
Oh, I hate it. Anyway, so CNN, their thing is screen time, mental health menace or scapegoat. Tony, what are your thoughts about this? And I'll kind of tell you, I'll summarize the study as was summarized by these two articles. So
I think like the best summary I've seen on this is the Simon Sinek interview where he talks about He talks a lot about millennials. I think it's just like anything. If you get addicted to it, it's not good for you. I think with teenagers, the biggest problem is they get in these like feedback loops where they want instant feedback for really, really petty things. And it becomes something so addictive that they want it all the time. They don't get enough sleep. They get sleep deprivation. They get depressed. And I think that's what happens to a lot of them. And I also think that they feel like an immediate connection to people, but outside of the phone, they have a really hard time engaging with each other. Mm. And so when there's a really big problem and they need some really good advice, they just can't get it. They just, you know, they're just so used to only seeing and writing positive stuff all the time. They never actually deal with real problems.
That's interesting. I like that. I like that. That's a good discussion. The study of the summary of the study says that in middle school, like middle school age is 6, 7, and 8th grade. I guess what is that? 11 to 14 year olds. Is that what we're talking about? That they get more and more depressed, probably because exactly like you put it, you know, they're up late at night, you know, they're watching this. There's this fear of missing out. But as they go through high school, by the time they're seniors, juniors and seniors, that this doesn't affect them nearly as much at all. And they're able to kind of manage it and handle, like, they, you know, they're grown up. They're becoming adults,
right.
and they're far more critical thinker. They're better critical thinkers, and they know how to handle crisis a little bit better and situations and a little bit better. And so this doesn't affect them so much as at all. So it's kind of interesting. I just saw this kind of interesting because everywhere you turn, it's always like, you know, screen time is terrible, 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 terrible. But here it's like, well, it's bad for a while and then it gets okay. So I don't know. I mean, do you think this is kind of a shift in the culture of screen times? Like, do you think that it will, I mean, maybe not entirely, but do you think that people might, you know, in like 5 years' time, just be like, well, it's okay. This is just a process that people go through.
I think that in school, the problem is that you only have so much time to like review, cover everything you're supposed to review with students before they leave and graduate. And if you break it down to the number of hours that you actually have, if technology isn't making those hours more efficient, giving students more free time because they can do their work faster, then it's probably taking away from that time. So if it's taking too much away from that time, then what's going to happen is when they might be able to manage technology when they get to grade 12, but then they're not prepared for university at all.
Yeah.
So what happens is you have some students whose parents are very diligent and they have said, I'm going to send you to a school which doesn't have any technology at all. I'd rather you just do that and, you know, learn the things you need to learn so you can succeed academically in university. And then you have other kids with parents who are more hands off. And so once those students leave their schools and get into a university together, who's going to have the upper hand? I mean, if you look at all the stats, depending on what you go into, everything is just getting more competitive. I don't know, like a lot of the kids here.
And not just competitive, but more expensive too. Much more.
Yeah, they're gonna be trying to go to like really high end universities. They're not gonna have the grades or the scores to do that. Or they're gonna get into university and they're gonna have this massive workload that they're not used to. So if they even try to use their like phone or their Facebook for a couple hours a day, they would literally not have enough time to study. I try to show the students at school things like day in the life of an MIT student.
Oh, interesting.
And you can watch that stuff online. And they're busy. These, you know, kids in university today who are in competitive programs, they're really, really busy. And they can walk around on their phones and message. But, you know, when they're in class, I'm just assuming they have to be pretty focused. Although on the Chronicle of Higher Education, if you go to that website, there's articles like weekly about professors who feel like they can't control their students anymore, that they're just on their phones all the time. So, yeah, I don't know if they really learn to manage it that much. I don't think that they see the danger in it. It would be, I guess it would be different, but if the products that they were using weren't designed to just, you know, be addictive. I think that's the problem.
See, I don't know if it's I think I'm going to disagree with you a little bit. I don't think it's the Samsung S phones or the iPhones. I think it's the apps that are on the phone.
Oh, that's what I meant. That's what I meant. Like, oh,
okay.
Not the phones. I mean the apps that they're using are designed.
Oh yeah.
To just suck you in.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. You know, totally.
Like if Facebook wanted to have an educational platform, they could.
Oh, I think they've even been looking at it,
but I don't know. But when they run the numbers, there's no money in it.
No. Very little money, and then they probably don't want to build a whole separate platform, right? They want it to be integrated into Facebook somehow. So,
but you know, it's one of those things. It's like these companies could make their apps actually functional. Like, for example, Facebook could have educational groups that interconnect with your Google apps, but they wouldn't do that.
Oh no. No way would they share data with Google, who they view as a competitor.
So, I mean, that's the reality. It's like, you know, a gun maker makes guns. And that's it. That's what they make. And Facebook makes addictive social content.
Yes, they do. Yes, they do.
And if you go back, and that's fine. If you go back to the beginning of Facebook, like I've read the stories, I've like read the books, like not just watch the movie.
Yeah.
They, you know, it was basically a dating app. Let's be real.
Yeah, and for universities.
For universities.
Yep. You want to see who's in your university who maybe you might be interested in dating or calling up or reaching out to? There it is.
And, you know, Facebook set the model. It's not just Facebook. Kakao is really big in Korea, and it's kind of the same model. It's sending messages back and forth. We have staff. We have adults who... like want to do everything on KakaoTalk, and it's like we can't do that. I don't even really know who you are on KakaoTalk. If I do know who you are, I have no way to like message you from like a database or send you like, you know, like if you're a parent, I can't send you an invoice. You know. Now, in China, I have to say, in China, where all of this stuff is strictly controlled, what's funny is the best platform I've ever used in my life is WeChat.
I agree, 100%.
And the reason is because WeChat was designed for business, like it was designed for business. You can tell they wanted it to be social, but from the very beginning they had a business platform, and they wanted people to be able to walk around in a very populated society and safely purchase things without carrying money. And they wanted them to be able to not have paper receipts and not generate waste. I mean, there's a lot of thought into it.
Oh, there's an incredible. And you know what? It's unbelievable because WeChat is great. I mean, it's so good because
it's definitely managed by the government.
Yeah.
They're definitely involved.
And everything works on it. Everything works and works WeChat, seamlessly.
And WeChat also, like, you can't use WeChat without verifying your identity.
That's right.
It's not a joke. Like, nobody can get on it without actually, like, even as a foreigner, I had to, like, load in my passport information.
Yeah.
So,
Google tried to do this with YouTube, like, with you know, no more anonymous posting comments. And people lost their mind. And so and they backed off. They're like, okay, this is wrong. And even the tech blogs are like, this is so stupid. But you know what? If you're gonna say something and you gotta own up to it.
Yeah, you can't you can't bully someone on WeChat and get away with it.
Yeah. There's
a record. You could contact WeChat, use like they have a it's annoying. We had to do it a couple times in China. But they can identify the person immediately. Like there's no way to hide it. So I'm not saying that like having Big Brother watching everything you do is a good idea, but I'm saying that WeChat, it's a hard one. Like, if you were like, oh, we shouldn't have WeChat at school or we shouldn't use WeChat with parents, because I fought that battle all the time, WeChat would say, well, you can if you want to use the business package. You can message them. You can send them invoices. They can pay their bills with WeChat. So then you run into a whole other argument, right? Oh, it's like, well, that's where the parents are at, and we actually could use it as a business. It's a solution to other problems.
Yeah.
But these other platforms aren't a solution to anything, as I can see.
No, they solve no problems. They solve none, zero problems. I guess Facebook, when it was in universities, and you're at a large university like Ohio State, University of Texas, or University in Kentucky, you know, where there's more than 10,000 students, helping to find somebody who you can connect with, I guess that solves a problem, but I don't know. Not anymore. I deleted my Facebook account, feel good about it, so I'm happy about that.
I guess I wouldn't mind doing that if I could just find another efficient way to manage all my photo sharing, because we do a lot of photos back home to the parents.
Yeah, and when I was overseas, Facebook was essential, but now that I'm back in the U.S., I don't feel the need for it, and I think if I go overseas again, I'll probably create a Facebook account, or maybe just, well, Instagram, Facebook, it's the same thing, right?
Yeah.
So, I don't know. It's interesting. It's certainly interesting. But you know what's very interesting, Tony? Very, very interesting. Is that if you have a messy desk, you're a better teacher. What do you think about that?
Well,
Omar
I can say
is loving
that
it.
Omar's had steady employment for years, and that's why.
Three dirty coffee mugs.
Oh, my God.
Four dirty thermoses, papers everywhere.
A case of juice boxes. For years, like just with dirt on them.
Just awesome. I saw this on a blog from weareteachers.com. And, you know, I think it's complete horse crap. If you got a dirty desk, you just have a dirty desk. But if you have an Omar dirty desk, then you have an issue.
I think there's a misconception here. Like, my desk, when I'm working on a project, my whole room gets really messy because I'm busy. But then I clean it up and start over.
Yeah, I have to clean up my desk. I have to do it at least once a week.
Got a feeling that Einstein, because they mention him, I got a feeling he had a maid.
Or, well, you know, I'm certain that at Columbia University that he had probably a graduate assistant or a teacher assistant who helped manage that, you know, for him. I'm sure of it. There's got to be.
Yeah, like, I don't know. I think people use Post-it notes and stuff, and maybe it helps them remember stuff. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I can see that people who are very fixated on really hard problems, they walk around and they ignore stuff. They don't clean. They might not do their dishes, like whatever.
Yeah.
But I don't think that's Omar. I don't think he's walking around trying to solve really hard problems.
You never know. You never know. We don't know, Tony. Omar is one of these people who, like, he was mining Bitcoin for a little bit. He was making apps for a while. I think he still has some apps out there. He has his fingers in a whole lot of different pots, so we have no idea all the issues that Tony is that Omar is working on. So
that's true. Well, I don't know. I think this will just have to be tabled.
We will.
Till we get more evidence.
Yes, you know what? 150 is coming up. I think Omar is going to be on the show. I've got to confirm with him that he can, you know, not play the kid card and actually be on the show. So coming up pretty soon, episode 150. It's a big one for us.
Yeah, it is. It's good. It's good. Awesome.
Yeah. Well, anything. Do you have anything else, Tony? Anything else you want to talk about? I think it was a good show. We talked about a whole lot of stuff.
Yeah, I think we're good. I don't have anything else pending right now. I think maybe in a couple of weeks I'm going to bring up to the school the idea of bringing in some Windows 10 equipment next year. So I'll let you know how that goes.
Yeah, you know... Yeah, I'm interested to see how they respond to that, because we have a couple teachers on staff who would love to use Windows, and I'm like, what? As far as price goes, there's no difference.
Yeah, that's true. Good hardware is about the same price.
Yeah, so I this is going to be, I don't know. This is definitely something that that I'm certainly going to explore a little bit in the future. But I'm interested to see what comes of your discussions. So anyway, that's a great show. For IT Babble, I'm Patrick.
And I'm Tony.
And check us out at www.itbabble.com for great posts and reviews. And we will catch you on the next episode. So keep on babbling out there.